passion, promise, outstanding content. But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It's March 1st, folks.
March 1st.
It's almost spring, man.
Time is like flying like crazy.
I know. We say that every day.
I know.
So let's skip that part.
It is. And it's rent day. Today is the official
it
day.
It is. How pleasant it is to pay rent.
That's what I think of that.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm refreshed.
Yeah. Your wrist is hurting still?
It is.
Yeah. Just you still have a little thing on it, huh?
I took it off for a little bit to try and, you know, see if I could use it, and I guess I did it too much. I think I tore something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You keep tearing things all the time. I don't know what it is with you. You got to relax.
Restless.
Calm down.
I can't. Got to live life. Got to move on.
That's true. You got to live life.
Got to have fun.
Yeah. So that was fun with Allison yesterday.
Yeah, it was good. And it was a nice couple of days.
Yeah.
Well, she was only here for 24 hours, which
I know. And
crazy,
she made time to come on the show, which was nice.
I know. She's like, I'm so worried about coming on here. I'm like, we'll have time for the airport. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I wanted her, and I didn't know if she would delve too much into, you know, what happened and whatnot. But
yeah,
you know.
With the Monica Lewinsky thing. But
it was rough back then. It was really rough.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I didn't want to push her with the questions and stuff, especially she said she was young at the time.
We were. I mean, when this was going on, because we knew about it years before it came out in the press. And I remember, because Monica used to come to the house.
Really?
So, yeah.
So they were like friends and stuff.
Well, her mom and...
Right.
So
her mom was friends with Monica
so
Lewinsky.
I remember that and stories and things that I can't talk about either. But
yeah.
We were like, you know, 16, 17. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we used to laugh about it and be like, you know, this whore's coming over here. Like, yeah. we would say that. I mean, the things that we heard. But, and then when it came out eventually, because I think I'd even told my parents something like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. And they're like, don't say that. That's not true.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 3-4 years later and it came out in the news everywhere. And,
wow.
But it was a really
So this
rough...
went on for 4 years?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
It was on for a
really?
While. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It didn't come out until later on. Yeah.
Really?
There's way more to it than everyone knows. Like, I hope she writes a book because
I know.
Really would love everyone to
I know.
See
I'd
her
love
side
to read
of
a book.
It.
I don't know whatever happened to Monica Lewinsky. She's disappeared.
Who
you know?
Cares? Who cares?
I know, but she was like the biggest name in the world, you know? And suddenly she's just like...
You know, but that's the thing. It's like, name for what? I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of... Because it's kind of shameful in a way. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to be known for that. I'm just saying. We were talking about yesterday. We're like, what happened to her? Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a horrible, horrible, rough time for, I mean, everyone. I can't explain to you. They could not leave their house. Like, my mom used to go grocery shopping.
With photographers
for them. I mean,
stuff.
You could, there were paparazzi all over the place.
Wow.
And they used to have, like, a lawyer would come out or someone would come out of the house to be like, because they would try and, the sidewalk is public property,
right.
But the lawn's not. So they could linger on the sidewalk all they wanted.
Yeah.
Wow. It was ridiculous.
That's terrible.
It was, yeah, it was insane.
And I guess they weren't prepared for this either, you know, the family and stuff.
No, I mean, how are you going to?
Yeah.
I mean, one day we're in school, and the next day, you know, we go back to Allison's, and there's like, you know, paparazzi everywhere, and we're like, oh my God, there's cameras. I mean, you couldn't even get on the street.
Right.
And this went on for months.
Wow.
It was really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, well.
But anyway,
yeah.
Everyone's good.
In a few minutes, we're going to get to our guest here. We have a special guest, and you guys might want to call in. The number is 323-203-0815 if you have questions. And if you don't think you will, then wait till you hear what she has to say. And then maybe you'll have some questions.
And meanwhile, you can go on her website at SuzanneNorthrup.com.
Right.
It's one Z, one N. So SUZANE Northrup.com.
Right. And so we'll get to her in just a minute. Do you have any big plans for the weekend?
I'm going down to San Diego.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful weather to go.
Yeah, it's going to be
like
nice
80
weekend.
Degrees, man.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I kind of want to just escape. So So
yeah,
nice little...
I was hoping for a few more rainy days, but I think
rainy days.
The winter is over.
No more rain. You know what? I've had enough.
It's just been so dry, Brigetta. You know, I can't stand this dryness, man.
I don't care. No. I want sun, fun in the sun.
Right.
If there's gonna be water,
but you get that every day. You know, I mean, that's the thing.
I've been traveling. I haven't had the sun. I've been in like freezing cold Canada, where it like, you know, you walk outside and like, oh my God, I feel like my face is gonna fall off because it's so frozen.
I've been in Colorado, too.
In Colorado, right. I want sun, and, you know, fun, sun.
Okay, all right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's bring in Suzanne, and she's waiting patiently here and sitting politely and waiting for her turn. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Hi. Thank you for having me, guys.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
So how did you find out about Suzanne?
A mutual person.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So, but you guys had never met before today,
no,
right?
No. But she, you know, she has a show in, or in Canada. She had a show in Canada for a while, but we'll let her talk about everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, tell us briefly what it is that you do, so people know, and then we can delve into details and stuff.
Okay. Essentially, basically, I'm a medium. Small, medium, large person.
Right.
I'm the one in the middle. Yes. Yeah.
So what does being a medium mean?
It means that I connect to people who have passed over.
Wow.
Yeah, like pure and direct and simple.
Really?
That's it.
Yes. And this is like totally real and everything, right?
Oh, I made it all up.
Well, I don't know. You know, a lot of people would be skeptical, you know? What can I say?
You know what? Here's the thing. He is so skeptic, and I bring in different healers and different people all the time and try.
Right.
And you know, broaden. And you've seen some interesting things.
Right.
So.
No, absolutely. You know, and the thing is that I'm not questioning it. I'm just like, you know, because, I mean, obviously, you probably are in a position where you have to prove it to people. Because it's a claim that not everybody can make.
No question about that. Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
So now, how did you discover you had these abilities? I mean, how long ago was that?
I've had this my whole life.
Really? Your whole life?
Yeah, this is like the only job I've ever had.
Really?
This is it.
So how did you... So obviously it started at an early age.
Yes.
What did you think of as a child?
I think... What I think is this. I think depends... All children have like... gifts. You know, some kids can throw balls, some kids can run like crazy, some kids, like, you know, can sit down and play a piano like they've never played it before. Yeah. They don't think about it, they just do it because it's a natural process for them. And I think what happens with children, it depends on the circumstances that surround it, how they do or they don't deal with it. So in my particular case, you know, I had this at a very young age, and I don't think I thought anything about it. It was just a very natural process, which, by the way, is very natural for most children.
Right.
It's
really?
Very much more common for children than it is for people who get older. Because as people get older, what happens is that, and actually, because I've been involved with a lot of science, I'm one of the few people who have been tested and been part of the documentaries of HBO and things of that sort. But they just came out with the studies just recently within this last year or two that the scientists, and I don't ask me how they've gone about doing it, but they now know that children up until the age of about 5 or 6, there's a part of their brain that they can't differentiate with what we would call real and what is not real, meaning that they can tune in exactly to what we call non-physical acknowledgement and existence.
Right.
So that's actually been now documentary in part of the put into scientific studies.
Right.
So children are natural. I mean, they just are. Children and animals, by the way, interesting.
Right. As a child, finding out that you're like, seeing dead people, hearing dead people?
I think, like, again, depending on your circumstances.
Right.
You see, to me, it wasn't that, first of all, it was...
They're just there.
They're just there.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. It's sort of like, if you can think about it, is this, and one of the things that's always very significant about what I do, my actual first experience with somebody who went through the process of being a physical person to a non-physical person was my paternal grandmother.
Yeah.
And she got very ill, and in the process of getting very ill, she was this big Zoptic woman, greater in life, very powerful in my life, and she went from like whatever she was to probably down to like 80 pounds.
Wow.
And the last time that I actually saw her was in the hospital. And the next time that I saw her, she came to me, and she was big and fat again. And big and large, I would say.
Great.
Larger in life. And she did what grandmothers do, you know, keep up with your piano lessons, you know, I'm going to give you one of my favorite houses and my ring. I can't visit you all often, but I want you to know that I'm always there. And in my experience as a child, what I experienced was this, seeing somebody that I love very sick become very well.
Right.
And I believe if everybody had that experience, especially if you've gone through the experience of somebody who has been, who has gone through physical problems, you view life very differently. Now, when that happened, you know, was I in shock? I'll tell you what I was in shock about is that, you know, right after she passed, you know, I was the oldest of my sisters, and my mother said, you know, we got to go to the parlor tomorrow, you know, to deal with your grandmother. And I'm figuring like, well, grandma's all well, so maybe we're going to have a party, you see.
Right.
This is what I thought the parlor was all about. I didn't know the parlor was the funeral parlor.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, you have parents sometimes, it's like, you know, don't say anything or don't tell, don't say, you know, it's like certain parents are that way, you know, certain generations or whatever it is. So we went to the parlor and they had this woman that was supposed to look like my grandmother, although it was certainly not the grandmother that I saw the night before, dressed in my grandmother's clothes in a box. And I was a little freaked out about it because I said, like, I just saw grandma the night before and she did not look like this at all.
Wow.
And I'm trying to, like, I guess in my head, figuring it out because you're 13 years strange to begin with. You know, it's a weird age. And at that moment, from my memory, is my mother sort of like came running up to me, because it was my dad's mom, and she said, like, you know, you better go sit in the car because your father's going to get, you know, flipped out. Mm-hmm. So I went and sat, and of course it was my grandmother's car that I went and sat in. And you know being in a farm community, it was like, you know, literally we went like 100 miles an hour through the street of the town afterwards. So what happened at that moment was I'm trying to, like, figure out this, because I've seen Grandma well again, and my father's flipping out, and everybody's upset, and then I saw this person, you know, that's in this box is supposed to look like my grandmother. And, you know, when I tell people, I says, you know, I don't like want to be graphic or anything, but if you've seen somebody in a box, if you've seen somebody, you know, you can't tell me they're there, because their essence, their spirit, their energy is gone.
Right. It's just the shell.
Just a shell, exactly.
Right.
So that was very clear to me at a very young age. So I think what happened in my particular circumstances after that, it was just sort of like a matter of, like, just sort of like figuring it out kind of along the way. And I think in my particular circumstances, which is what does or does not happen with children, is that they either keep it or they don't, depending on their circumstances.
Yeah.
And I kept it because by the time I realized it, I was a little too far gone, which was, you know, several years later when I was, you know, 18 or 19, I moved to New York City. And I happened to have a lot of friends, interesting enough, that were studying to be shrinks or were in that area. And they knew I was different, but they never felt I was crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go out on dates and, like, the dead grandfather of the boyfriend shows up, not always great for dates, and you don't know this, and you're sort of like, you know, like, well, you're describing my grandfather, but my grandfather's dead. So it was sort of like through a process of just sort of like accidental, although I don't believe in accidents, figuring out that I was able to somehow connect at a very, very young age.
Wow.
And so that's kind of like, that was sort of my deal. And like I said, this is kind of the only thing I've ever done professionally.
So, I mean, can you turn it on, turn it off? Like, how do you, you know, like, let's say we're here right now and you just want to focus and you want to be in a meeting or you want to be you know, wherever.
Right.
Do you just kind of tune it out or do you
I think you have to learn to work into balance because, you know, what I think is extremely important is that, you know, we can be what I would call directly connected to God 24/7. And that's the energy, you know. But you can't have your wires on 24/7.
Right.
Number one, you would go mad and you would go nuts. And number two is you have to work very hard at that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've done this my whole life, so I've learned to work at that. You know, there are times, particularly if I'm working, that it's much harder. You know, if I've started out working, if I've done a radio show in the morning and I've got, you know, if I've got gigs after that, you know, I have to work harder because, you know, there's a certain level of consciousness that happens with me.
I see.
And when and then I'll have to sort of like balance it out. But I, you know, when I first started doing this work, which was 30 years ago, it was much harder. I had to work very hard. It was like when I would do sittings, it would be like my head would be like the size of, well, I live in New York, in case you haven't figured that out. It would be the size of, like, you know, four block buildings. I mean, it was like it's like an athlete. You have to learn to build up, and you have to learn to put it into balance. So at the beginning of my work, it was a process. I have to say it was a process. But it's like anything else. Like, it's whatever gig it is, you figure it out.
I mean,
that's the deal.
I think it's fascinating because I was born with, you know, being able to see things as well, but at, like, around 13, it went away.
There's something that happens at 13, yes.
It was just gone.
Really?
And I could never physically see anything. right. really again until, well, kind of recently weird things. But
right.
it was
yes.
very weird.
And interesting enough, that it's interesting that you bring that up, Brigitte, because believe it or not, which most people do not know, is that sight is the least form of actual connection,
mm-hmm.
What we call clairvoyance. It's actually much more clairaudient or clairsentient. Mm-hmm. So most people, in the movie, see dead people.
Right.
First of all, when they make reference to seeing dead people, they're not talking about physically, visually
right.
seeing
right.
dead people. They're
right.
talking about it in terms of an energetic thing, that you see
right.
that kind of energy.
I see.
And it is the least form. And there are people who do,
mm-hmm.
But that's less than other kinds of connections that
yeah.
happen with people.
Yeah.
So
see, I can feel something in the room and I can describe it to you. But when I was younger, I used to physically see it. And I used to be
yes.
like, Mom, I don't understand why you don't,
right.
see
yes.
him right here. And she'd be like, stop that.
And again,
that's not
very
there.
Common with children.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's sort of like, if you're not told something doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
and it's not within your framework, then it's a natural thing.
Right.
Right.
It's like I said, animals do it very naturally. If
mm-hmm.
I tell people it's very common after somebody passes in the family. If you happen to have animals and you see them looking at something you don't see is there, I can tell you, 95% it's that person that's passed.
Wow.
Right.
And,
yeah.
and you'll see when they see the little kitties and doggies wag their tails, when you don't see anybody there in a physical form, trust me, there's someone there. You
yeah.
just don't see it.
Yeah.
Well, for all of you trying to call, I see many, several people are trying to call, but we want to get a little more background on Suzanne, so stay tuned and call in a few minutes. So you're originally from New York. Is that where you grew up? Because you mentioned the farm.
Yes, I grew up on a farm in New York City.
A farm in New York State,
about 4 hours from New York City.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when did you move out here?
I don't live here.
Oh, you don't live here?
No, I'm just visiting.
I'm actually visiting.
Really?
I actually do live
yep.
in New York, yes.
Wow, how
yes.
cool. Well, thank you for
yes.
visiting
thank
us.
Thank you. I actually lived in California for 10 years.
Really?
Yes. And I call L.A., believe it, the City of Angels. And I tell people that it really is the City of Angels, because when I moved out here, I was living in New York at the time. And because I had left home and I'd moved to New York City, and at the time I was the guy I was living with, he said they're gonna lock you up if I don't get you out of here. So let me take you to California where they're all strange.
Uh-huh.
So that's what he did. So he took me to Northern California. Yeah, and I lived there for several years, and then I moved here and actually went to school in Los Angeles. But the time that I moved here, there was a period, and interesting enough, not everybody knows this, but there was a period in Los Angeles where you experienced some of the top mediums in the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is really where they congregated, and there was a huge spiritual underground community.
Wow.
And yes, and many of them were Brits, and many of them were rather well known. And I mentioned to somebody yesterday, did you ever hear about Manny Hall? People didn't know about Manny Hall, but Manny Hall was like this huge place in Pasadena where they would be like the Dwayne Dyers of today.
Wow.
Who was speaking. So I got to, and I was this young kid, and I got to have a chance to connect with many of them. They all kind of took me under their wing. And they said, you will do this. You will be a medium. You got a calling.
Right.
And I just kept saying, thank you very much. But, because my background was music, and that was sort of like what I thought I was going to be doing in my
right.
life.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I was going to school for. So during that time, I got to be connected with many of these people. I also worked with the first woman to receive a badge from the Los Angeles Police Department.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And she did. Yes, she did. She was one of the ones who was responsible for actually solving the Hillside Strangler case, which was a huge case during that time.
Yeah.
Right.
And she knew it was the brothers, and there was a whole thing about her claiming and the police wanting to take credit and her taking credit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dead now, so we can talk about that. But
mm-hmm.
But so I actually was the one who worked with her and sort of studied with her. So I did do some police work as
mm-hmm.
well.
Do you find that satisfying in a
no,
way?
No. Well, it's tough.
Right.
It's tough. It's tough if you've not worked with somebody who's an officer.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they do exist, and I can probably tell you there's probably a lot more out there than people know about it.
Right.
They have to do keep it underground for
mm-hmm.
for obvious reasons, but they have to really understand what it is to work. And she worked much more as a psychic. I worked much more as a medium.
Right.
Right.
And contrary to what people think, because you work as a medium, it does not necessarily mean you're going to pick up information on that person who was responsible for that crime.
Right.
If anything,
you get passed over one
right. If anything, you're going to be connecting to the person that passed over.
Right.
Which contrary to people think, they may or may not even know who their assailant is.
Right.
So, it's a whole, people have these ideas which are really not based in reality.
Right.
They're based in what they think. But there are some top-notch psychics, and I know that there's some out in this town that do work with the police and do some phenomenal work. And
mm-hmm.
it's not easy work.
Mm-hmm.
Let me kid you. It's not easy work. They do it for the love of the family.
Mm-hmm.
They do not get paid. And you work very, very hard, and you're on call. And I remember, wow. You know, Betty had scanners in her house. She not only had scanners in her house, but they had to make sure that they didn't know where she lived, because they were always in once you've pointed the finger to somebody,
right.
And they're able to actually go and document information to arrest them. You're like, you know, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be really careful.
A lot of responsibility.
You got to be on target. Yes. So I've done some of those cases in New York with crime families. And
that's got to be very interesting story.
Really, a little spooky. I don't do that stuff anymore. So, you know, they come landing on your doorsteps, and it's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were many, many years ago, literally, I would have them, they would come and they put their guns on my table. They come in and put their guns on the table, and they go, you know, well, we know what happened to that guy down the road, and like, you know, you know, we know his family, so we want to connect with him. And I would connect with them, and you know, they would show up, and they'd say, we knew, you know.
Right.
So it was really kind of an interesting deal. Yeah. I don't do that anymore. But
you should write like a story, or change all the names, but like a book on that.
I haven't. None of my books have I discussed any of that kind of stuff. You know, I've discussed obviously other things in my books.
Right. I think that's intriguing though.
Yeah, but I know people love they love police drama and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I you know, like I said, it was never something that I really was crazy about doing.
It just kinda...
and ultimately I get usually pulled in by the families, because the families are left distraught with the unsettlingness or the unsolving, or they can't find, you know, the person, missing persons, or, you know, so they're the ones that usually call in the mediums. But I always say, like, unless you're actually connecting with particularly a detective that knows how to work with somebody of my ability, you're going to run into some difficulties, because it's not like a computer printout, you know.
Right.
It doesn't you know, exactly work that way. And interesting, Betty, that's how she used to call them printouts. That's what she used to do when she would work with the police. But they would go out in the field with her, and she would take them, like, you know, right where the stuff had happened. You know, she was a pretty amazing woman. Yeah,
wow.
Pretty cool lady.
Well, for those of you just joining us, we're speaking to Suzanne Northrup, and she's a medium. And if you want to call in, the number is 323-203-0815. Why should people call? What are they calling for?
They're only calling if they want to connect with somebody.
I see. Okay.
Somebody's passed over.
All right.
Yes.
So should we demonstrate something? Do you want to connect with anybody? Do you have anybody that's passed away?
I was trying to get my mom to call in. She's going to be calling in a minute, because she's the one who really needs some.
Really?
Clear, yeah.
So how do you help people with this? I see that it mentions bereavement and all that stuff. What do you do for people in that way?
Well, I think that there's, I don't think, I when we know that person that we love that is no longer here physically, that door is accessible, that we connect with them and we validate information in relationship to them, there's something that happens with each of us. And that is that, my God, that person that I love, their body may not be here, but they're still alive. We are connected to them.
Right.
And ultimately, it basically comes down to the element of love.
Right.
They don't stop loving you because they've left their body, nor do you stop loving them because they've left their body. It's that continued aspect of love.
Right.
That's ultimately what my work is really about.
Right.
So there's something about that knowing, and because, you know, grief is a real individual deal, and, you know, everybody has their own grief in their own way, and there's no, like, I tell people, it's not like a magic wand, like it's going to go away, and that's not what this is about.
Right.
This is not about, you know, I can't walk through somebody's process for them, but what I can do is connect with that person that they've lost.
Right.
That on some level it makes that continued connection be very, very significant.
Right. Now, how is someone, I mean, you mentioned you've been like that all your life and stuff. How is it that some people have this ability and some do not?
Well, to be honest with you, first of all, everybody has a certain amount of ability, period.
Right.
And what I think is this, I think it's really a matter, quite frankly, of wrapping your head around, number one, that person that I love, they physically died, but they didn't die. That energy continues. And if you really believe that somewhere in your heart, and you know that, and you're open, for lack of better words, they'll contact you. They will not only contact you because they love you, but they will contact you because, believe it or not, it's their responsibility. And it's their responsibility because of that element of love. So when you love somebody and they make their transition, they need to know, because you need to know, that is real and deal. So they will come to us in a lot of different ways.
Right.
It's just that we dismiss it. And mm-hmm. and then when we share it with other people, they say, like, well, you know, you just wanted to not know your daddy was dead because, you know, you're missing him.
Right.
And that's not the truth. The truth mm-hmm. is that your father came to you because he needed to come to you, because he right. needed to let you know he was okay to help you in your process. And that's what we do when we love somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's really based on that. It's not this, you know, it's like just demystifying all of these other little things. And I know we live in Hollywood here, and we know dramas have to be dramas, and we got to create them to be a little more like the shows. But in real life, uh-huh. They do come to us, and uh-huh. they come to a variety of ways. Obviously, you experience some of them as a young girl. And when I, you know, and in my works, in my workshops and my lectures and things of that sort, when I start to share some of these ways with people, you'll look at them and they say, like, yeah, Ma, that really happened after my mom died.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like all I'm basically doing is I'm letting them know that what they experienced was true and real for them.
Mm.
And yeah. I'm validating their experience. I'm not doing anything. I'm just telling them the ways mm-hmm. it happened. And there are many, many ways, but I always say that there are significant ways that are synonymous to that person mm. that you would know was that person and only that person.
Right.
So, you know, and like I said, and I tell people, it's not a big dramatic thing. It's generally very subtle. It's generally the little things I tell people. It's the little things that are actually the big things that they let us know.
Right.
Like my grandfather used to leave pennies everywhere.
Pennies,
like,
yes.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Pennies from heaven, and that was
yeah.
the deal, yes.
I would clean them up. And then I would go back a couple minutes later, and they're there, and I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I get that you're here.
And you see, she got that. Now, some people might dismiss that.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that sometimes if we do, I know sometimes there's a lot of reasons. Sometimes grief into itself will do that. I mean, because mm-hmm. the grief is so intense and we can't, you know, move forward from that. And so we dismiss a lot of things. But it's like anything else in life. It's like once you're able to, you know, open up, for lack of better words, and keep yourself attuned, you'll start to know the ways or the ways that they'll connect to you.
Yeah.
Now this may not happen all the time. Actually, the strongest connection, quite honestly, is within the first year of passing.
Mm. Mm.
And it happens generally at what I call the times where, you know, there's like the dusk and the dawn thing.
Right.
That's quite often when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dreams are the number one way that make people make contacts. But there's a whole lot of other ways that it sort of like happens.
Right.
So, like I tell people, I said, you know, you'll know once somebody knows that they've been contacted, no one will ever be able to talk them out of it.
Wow.
That I can tell you.
Really?
That I can tell
so
you.
That's
absolutely.
A pretty real experience.
It's a very real experience.
Now, right. I know this is going to sound crazy. I'm just going to ask this, too. So, you know how, I mean, I believe in...
You never say crazy things.
Well, I believe in reincarnation, that people pop back in. Do you believe in that? And have you had any experiences with that? And... do you know if, like, I don't know, a spirit comes to you, would they even say, I'm going to pop back in through this light? I mean, have you ever...
Well, first of all, do I believe in that? Yes, because I've done this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience, we don't come back that fast. Okay.
Right.
We have sort of like what I call like one lifetime per 100 years, which is 5 generations.
Got it.
And interesting enough, if you actually visit cemeteries, you're going to see that people stop visiting after about 5 generations, if you think about it.
Really?
So if someone passes and you have this strong connection, because, you know, I don't know about you, but like I knew my great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So if people who might have known a great-grandmother who might have had influence in their lives, which would have been 4 generations, and you need to connect to them, they'll be there when you go over, because it's that need of connection of love.
Right.
Right.
And we need that. You know, people that lose children need to see their child again.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Let's take a phone call. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
That's my mom.
Oh, it's your mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi. I'm so excited.
Well, we finally get to talk to you a year after we've been together on the air. That's cool.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy to be on the air. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Well, Brigetta said you'd probably call. So, did you have a question for Suzanne?
I do. I would like to know if there's anybody in my space that she could connect to give me some information or input.
Okay. First of all, can I have your first name, please?
Mary Anna.
Mary Anna. Okay. I just like to know first names. It's always a good thing. And are you on a phone, Mary?
Yes.
I mean, I know you're on a phone. Are you on a cell phone?
Oh, yeah. I thought that's what you said.
Yes. Very good. Okay.
Cell phone.
All right. But you're not driving or anything like that, right?
No, I just pulled over.
Good. I that's one of my rules. Like, if you're on the phone, and we know in this town they're on the phone in the cars, we will not allow that, okay? Okay.
No, I'm good. I just pulled over and I parked.
Okay, very, very good. Okay, first of all, I'm going to tell you this, please. I do get a couple people around here, but I'm going to ask you this, please. I'm hearing your name twice, Mariana, and when I hear a name twice, it means to me your first and middle name is passed down, and I'm assuming I'm on your mama's side of the family. Am I correct on that, please?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
My mother's Mariana, too.
I'm Mary also.
Thank you very much. Well, I did say that, did I not?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So,
you did.
I'll say, so I'm going to assume, does that mean your mama's passed, please?
Yes, it's in my mother's passed.
Okay. Now, your daddy's also passed. Am I correct on that?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, my mother didn't pass. My mother is here.
Okay. Oh. But your father's got to be passed, and
yes,
he's got to be identifying by your mama. Do you understand this? Yes?
Yeah.
My father has passed, yes.
Yes, he's identifying his name by your mother. Okay, and I'm telling people, they go brain dead. They forget about the people in their lives and their family. Okay, now, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. Your father comes through very, very strong, very, very strong man. Very strong man.
Yes.
Yes. And if he wasn't a smoker, there's a male that's connected to him who was a smoker.
He was a smoker.
No, he was a smoker,
yes.
Heavy.
Now, is that what he passed from? Because I'm heavy in his chest.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like, I don't know, and it's interesting because, to be quite honest with you, I want to say your father was ill longer than he let on. I'm going to tell you that, too, which indicates to me personality that he was a very, very dignified man. Do you understand this?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Now, he's coming with another male vibration, so I'm assuming he must have lost a brother because it comes up same peer level. So there's a brother or brother vibration like him that passed before him, I want to say.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I'm a sister.
Is his sister? What's his
sister? He had a sister that...
Let me ask you, was his sister married?
Yes.
Was it a brother-in-law?
No.
If his sister was married, it has to be a brother-in-law.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. His sister passed.
Okay, but the brother-in-law is still here?
I think so.
Okay. There's got to be a reason why they're identifying, Marianne, and you know, Mariana. So I just have to tell you that when your father comes through, he's identifying that he's with a sibling, but there's a reason he's bringing in the relationship to the male. Now, I'm also going to tell you this, please. When your father comes through here, he tells me quite literally he knew he was going to pass.
Yes.
Without a question. Now, there's something that's a birth or passing connected to him, unless he's identifying by you or your mom, that has a March or a May passing, because they're giving him a month of March or May.
It was late spring, yes.
Okay, but that's just how he's coming. Now, this guy comes through is larger in life, for the record. And I would be very, very surprised if you were not daddy's girl. Really surprised.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Now, it's interesting because, is your mama around here, Mariana?
She's here. She's in a different state, but she's alive.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying, because, you see, I don't physically feel that she's here in California.
No, they're in Maryland.
Okay,
in Maryland.
I was going to say, because I feel like I'm back east.
Yes.
Yes, and it's interesting because when your father talks about this, that had to have been what I call very nostalgic in the family, meaning that there had to be history back there or people that came over or whatever that lived there. Do you understand?
Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Now, were they near the water, may I ask? Because your father's talking about the water.
I am by the water now.
You are by the water now. Okay, because it's interesting. Yes. It's a nostalgic thing, so he's bringing that up for a reason. Do you understand this?
Because it's the house, Mom. Think about it.
It's
Grandpa's house.
He passed in Florida, which is by the water.
Thank you very much. Wonderful. That's just his way of letting me know he's coming through. Now, I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here. Were you not with him when he passed?
No, I wasn't.
Because he's telling me you weren't, and he's also telling me you were not meant to be. And he said you've kept on for this, you've held on this for a very long time. And you have to trust that that's one of the gifts that God gives us, who's there and who's not there. And if you weren't there, it's not a personal thing. I would have to say it had a lot to do with your daddy's dignity.
Yes.
Do you understand this?
Yes. Yes.
Now,
yes.
He is telling me you have done well by your mom, and he thanks you for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
Now, it looks like that the house that they lived in, I know you said he was in Florida, but it looks like where you grew up or something, there must have been what I call a double-level house. I don't know if I'm side by side or upstairs and downstairs, but he talks about that also very nostalgically within the family.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it was a double, upstairs, downstairs. Yes.
Now, I want to know
where I grew up.
I want to know who got Daddy's watch, please.
Oh, my gosh. It's so weird. I still have it because I don't know if I should give it to my son or my brother.
Okay. You hold on to it, and you'll know when, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
That's amazing you knew that.
Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you one other quick thing here. Your father, I know you're named after your mother, but your father's also given me double honor, which means his name is either passed down to the brother, because that's what he's telling me. Do you understand?
Yes.
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 Now,
my brother's Ralph Warren, yes.
Yes. Now, I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here. Is he back where your mom is?
Yes.
Is my brother back where my mother is?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Again, your father's showing me what I call this physicality distance, all right?
Okay.
All right? It's just an identification. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's just his way of letting me know that he's come through.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Now, I will tell you this, and you know this, but I feel like I want to reiterate this with you. Your father says, without question, he's made visitations to you since he's passed.
Yes.
Yes. And you would know that. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you one other quick thing here about your father. I'm assuming this is an identification. Either somebody was into them, or they had them around, or they planted them, but he showed me roses.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. That's not somebody's name, is it?
No.
Okay. He's showing me roses. So it either means to me somebody planted them or somebody had them around, or there's an acknowledgement that he's given it to me about it.
Mommy, your entire rose garden in Maryland.
I mean, I do have a rose garden, actually.
You do have a rose garden. Duh. Hello.
And
I think he'd be talking about the rose garden.
And it's tons of colors.
And
it's
just say, did he say planted? I did use the word planted. Okay. There's nothing wrong with your father, my dear.
I planted them, but I think I did plant them before he passed. But he was also very into gardening.
Well, of course, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Roses.
Okay. Sorry, that's my mistake.
That's all right, not a problem.
I know why, because I knew that if he didn't see all the roses and flowers that I planted, but I knew after he passed, I wish he could have seen them because he would have loved it because he loved flowers.
Well, he did see them,
so
my dear. That's why he's bringing them up.
Okay, that would make a lot of sense.
Of course it makes a lot of sense. All right, I'm going to tell you one of the last thing here. Between me and your daughter, there's a dead dog. So somebody lost a dead dog.
Uh-oh. Bridge?
No.
I don't know. I don't have a dog.
Did your father or your mom have one?
Oh, mama.
Your father's coming with a dog.
My mother's had a few.
Okay, well, your father's coming with one of them. And this must have been one of their favorite ones because it looks small. It looked like it was a lap.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it was a lap dog.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it could. Yes, they did have a small dog.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So, you wouldn't, but your grandpa would.
Yeah. And it did pass because it was my mother's dog was hit actually by a car. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a very big deal from what your daddy's telling me.
Oh yeah.
My mother especially.
Yeah, exactly. So you can let her know that daddy has the dog and we're all okay.
I will tell her that. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
Okay,
you are amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I can't believe you know about the watch because no one knows about that.
I didn't even know.
Because I didn't know what to do with it.
Give it to Brigitte.
I feel torn. Does it go to my brother? Does it go to my son?
You know what? You'll know when the time is right, my dear.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome so much.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
Brigitte's mom, thank you so much
for
calling.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You got a sweet mom.
She has been very upset and distraught over years because she could not be there for him, and she missed it by a couple days of his passing, maybe even a day. Right. And I didn't speak to him for years. So,
you go.
Yeah. So it was very interesting.
Wow.
Anyway. Yeah. But, yeah.
There you go.
They tell us
perfect
something that we need to know.
I know.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. So, do you want to ask her anything regarding somebody? I mean, I don't have that many dead people in my family, but I guess there are, you know.
You might want to open up the lines for your callers.
I think we should open up the lines for the callers. Yeah. I think, too, you also have a gallery, which if you want to explain what that is, this weekend in case people want to
join. I have a small group. I'm not doing a large group.
Okay, hold on a second, because this person's been trying to call all morning, and I want to take them. So, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Brigitte.
How's it, Dawn? Hi.
Hi,
yeah.
Dawn.
Hi. I love your show. I try to listen to it as much as possible.
Aww.
Well, thank you.
That's kind
of you. Awesome. have you been listening to Suzanne? I mean, this morning, do you know what we're talking about
yes,
and everything?
Yes. Yes, I do know what you're talking about. That's why I'm trying to call in. I'm so excited.
I know. You've been calling in for a while, but we weren't ready yet to take your call. So why don't you go ahead? Suzanne is at full attention here, and go ahead.
Hi, Suzanne.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I think I probably want to ask, you know, who is the most important person coming through for me? My name is Dawn, by the way, and I'll just give you my first name because I know that's what you asked for.
Yes, I asked for the first name. But let me just ask you a question here before I sort of like go with that. Is there, because, you know, for the sake of radio, I always say for focusing, because that doesn't necessarily mean the person you may want me come through. Is there somebody in specific that you want to, because I'm picking up a male vibration very strong, is what I'm asking.
I don't think I want anyone specific, just, you know, the one with the best and most important message for me right now, because I probably have several people who have passed over.
Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to tell you that there's two vibrations that I'm going to ask you real quick here. Your papa's still here, please?
Yes.
Okay. Then there's a man that's connected to your father that's passed, so I'm assuming either he lost a brother or it's his dad, because I'm picking up two people.
Oh, his father's passed, yeah.
Yes. Now, were you connected to his grandfather? Because it feels like he's been gone a long time.
Yeah, he's been gone a long time. Yeah. No, I really didn't have any connection with him.
Yeah, well, he's coming through, and usually when they come through, even if you don't have a connection to him, he's still your grandfather. I want you to know that, all right? And he may be coming in relationship to your dad, all right? Okay.
I have a question on that. Can I ask a question about
yes,
that?
Yes, you can, but before I ask you one other quick thing, I want to know who had a lot of walking problems, Dawn. A lot of walking problems.
A lot of walking problems.
Yes, I could tell. Go ahead.
It could have been are we still talking about the male?
Well, there's definitely, he's coming through, but they definitely keep telling me there's a person here, they had a lot of walking problems. Like either couldn't walk well, or either had a stroke or something, because I feel like I'm leaning toward one side of my body more than my other.
There's a female that recently passed in my life who did have a stroke.
And who is that, please?
Her name is Sharon. She's just somebody I knew for 36 years, and I took care of her until she passed.
Interesting, because you see, I would feel her, even if she wasn't blood related to you, I would feel her like mm-hmm. an aunt or grandmother or something to that sort. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes in, it's quite, quite strong, that I can tell you. And for the record, she's a pistol. Do you understand that?
Yep.
Yeah, she's a pistol. Now, I have to ask you this, please. Did she used to wear things on her head, Dawn?
Yes,
she's got things
yes.
on her head. I don't know what the heck it is, but she's got things on her head. I mean, I call them like schmatas and, you know, things of that sort, but she's showing me the things that you would like always know her to have in her head. Now, I will tell you this, please. It's interesting. You must have known her for a long time, and I know that this might have been on a professional level, but she really thought of you very much as like a daughter. I got to tell you that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
It was more of a interesting connection that we kind of rose through some tough stuff became friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she definitely considered you like a daughter. Now, and it's interesting, if she had a daughter, in some ways, you were more connected in some ways than even if she did have one. And that's really how she gives it to me, quite literally. Now, I'm also going to tell you something. There's something that's connected her in the month of June or July, which had to be her birth or passing, because that's how she's indicating to me.
Yeah, she was born on June 11th.
Yes, yeah. That's just how she's coming through here. Mm-hmm. And she's also telling me that you know she's also connected to you since she's passed.
Oh, yeah, I figure, yeah.
Yeah, very much. Now, I don't know if this is something that she wore or she passed to you, but she showed me something that she used to always wear around her neck. And it had to be something that hung down.
It's a wedding ring that's on a chain.
Okay, thank you. So was that passed to you, or was that just something that she wore?
It's something that she, she wore the wedding ring for a long time, and then it was put on a chain for a film, and then she gave it to me after the film.
Interesting, yeah. It's very strong. It's like you would know about this. Like I said, it was something that hung out. I couldn't exactly tell what it was. Like it didn't look like a cross, but it's interesting. It almost looked like a locket, but it didn't seem to be as big as a locket. But it was definitely something that she always wore that was a big deal. Now, I'm going to come back to this again here. Did she lose her husband?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because I got to tell you something. The other guy who came through was her mm-hmm. was her husband, who was coming through with your grandfather. And I would see them very much like what I would call of that pure level. That was the brother vibration that I felt. Brothers, brother-in-laws, husbands, I feel are the same level.
Wow.
Yes. Now, her husband and her were like really connected. Really connected. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah, but yeah. But I'll tell you something. She was a tough broad. A tough broad.
Yep.
She did well on her own. I if she remarried, I'd be very surprised.
No, she didn't.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'd be very surprised because she didn't like kind of need. She was tough. She was very tough.
Mhm. Mhm.
Do you understand
that?
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now she's also telling me that either you spent a lot of time at where she lived or something, because I'm getting very strong proximity of spending time. So there had to be, again, what I would call like a lot of nostalgia or meaningful of time there, because that's how she indicates it to me.
Yes, we did live together for a while, off and on, yeah.
Yeah, it's very strong. And again, mm-hmm. It comes like a lot of nostalgia to me. So it's like we not only spent time there, but it looks like wherever she lived was a very big deal.
Yeah, she lived in L.A., I think. She was very connected there, yeah.
Yeah, 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 very much so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dawn.
Well, Dawn, what do you think? All your questions answered?
Well,
or do you
how
want
about
some
everything she said? I already know who these people are, and so I'm sitting here. I'm not going to say anything, but I'll tell them after air. But, wow.
Tell them after air. I would love to know how her husband comes through today. That might be an interesting question. Huh, Brigetta?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
you know what? So much. That was pretty nice. Amazing.
Yeah.
That went really fast, too.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in, Dawn.
Hey, no worries. I'll talk to you guys later. All right.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. We only have a few minutes. Let's tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. Well, first of all, they can go to my webpage, which is SuzanneNorthup.com.
Right.
I am doing a small event in L.A. this weekend, and I'm doing one in Encinitas this weekend, which I think is almost sold out. And like I said, I'm not doing a large seminar this time. I'm doing a small group.
Oh, okay.
Because I had a lot of meetings.
So do you tour a lot?
Yes, I travel all over the country. And out of the country as well.
Really?
Yes, I travel to Mexico and Canada and Europe and, you know.
So you're sought after. I mean, you're thing.
I am the real thing. Well, I've done this like a long time. I'm kind of actually the pioneer, one of the very first who did any kind of media and television and things of that sort. So,
really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still watch clips of her show. It's actually on her site if
yes.
you guys want.
And you can go to YouTube and things of that sort as well.
Yeah, there's a lot on your website, obviously. So
yes.
People check out SuzanneNorthrup.com, and that's Suzanne with one N. And
even if you misspell it, you'll find me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just go on Google, you'll find
me. Google, you'll find
me. And I also tweeted it, and it's on my Facebook, so it'll be on our Twitter as well.
Sounds good.
Great.
Now, so you're going to be here. Where do you go next after California?
I'm going to be in Tucson next week.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I'll be back east.
Okay, and all these are announced on your website.
All this stuff is on my webpage, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
And people
amazing.
Can still sign up on there as well, right?
Yes,
correct.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yes.
And now, what, so do you, this is the only thing you do in your life,
this
right?
Is
this
it.
Is
yes.
it. That's this, how this, you define
this, yes.
yourself.
This is how, yeah, this is it.
Wow.
It's got to be so fulfilling, though, and it's got to feel so good.
Of course,
in ways,
sure.
You know?
It's, yeah, so I get to, the privilege to connect to people in a way that most people don't.
Yeah,
so.
And,
it's great healing for people. I mean, it really is settling, and people need, they need to know. It's actually better than a therapist sometimes.
Right, yeah.
Well, I have to tell people that sometimes I eliminate 7 years of therapy.
Yeah, right.
But it was like that your mom needed to know that about her dad. I mean,
that
was obviously had been weighing on her head for a long time.
Well,
for years.
You know,
yeah.
So.
And
well,
my biggest thing is, because I'm in the whole healing thing, when you hold on to things, it dis-ease creates disease in the body.
Right.
And if you can release those certain emotions that people hold on to, they can help clear up.
No question about it.
Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, Suzanne Northrup, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank
you for
having me. You're a lot of fun, very fascinating. And everybody go to her website,
check
it out.
I can't believe the show's over. Time just flew.
It's always fast with me. Yeah.
Well, very fascinating, very informative. And all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Great. And Brigetta, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.